Thank you, Gray. Appreciate you leading some songs there. And I like this idea of the fifth Sunday and doing things where we get more people involved. That means I get a fifth Sunday off every fifth Sunday, so it's once a quarter. Maybe we ought to do that on a Sunday morning, and you share that with me if you will. Hey, I want you to think about something for a while. This is not the sermon yet. We're going to just touch something here. We have a lot of repairs being done or needing to be done on the building, and I mentioned in our Bible class, the tower outside needs to be entirely rewired according to the Fox Service Company, which will cost the church $12,000. We do have some funds from the sale of our other property, but like I was telling the class, we're kind of at a spot as a church where we need to kind of think about our future and where we're wanting to go, and if we... as we sold that property, we might sell this property and put the money into some good use elsewhere. And so that's one of the options. The other one is, do we continue to make repairs? I told our class this morning that the two heaters upstairs are completely out. The air conditioning works, but the heaters do not. And it would cost, the estimate then from the HVAC people would be close to $20,000. And so we're looking at over $30,000 right now to fix some of the glaring issues, and that there may be others that are coming along. And so it's for all of us to think about the future. What do we do? Do we decide at some point we get to our 100th anniversary, which will be next spring, and then look toward maybe kind of winding things down as a congregation? Or do we continue and build up? And we want you all to think about those things and, you know, and kind of share that. We'll probably have a meeting down the line on that, but it's just something to put out there, kind of sow the seed for you to think about as a congregation. Got a great bunch of people here, and, you know, it's something that we all want to be continue to be a part of. I've been here 14 years and hope to be here a little bit longer anyway. And as I'm close to retirement, but at any rate, just want to let you all know those kind of things to think about. And it's sort of something all of us ought to really put some prayer into. Now let's get to our text. We're in Matthew chapter 17. Going to just touch it and kind of jump off from it. And while you're doing that, I want to tell you when my son Brent was very young, we went to Port Aransas, and they have actually a place where you can pitch your tents on the beach. So we did that. We thought, that's really cool. So we put a beach, we put a tent up, and we realized one of the worst things about it was when you go into your tent, you're stepping out of sand and into the tent, and so you're getting sand in the tent, and that was miserable. And the wind was blowing very windy, so sand was blowing even into the tent, and our son had just come in from being in the ocean. You know, we'd been out there with him, and he got stung by a man-o-war. You know, the man-o-wars, the white and blue bubbly looking things. And he had been treated, and we had got back to the tent, and our son ran around the tent saying, "Isn't this wonderful?" You know, he'd just been stung by a man-o-war, and there was all this sand blowing in everybody's face, and he thought it was just wonderful. And we never have forgotten that. Always brought it up over time, and as you do with your kids, you remember some of the sweet things they said and did, and you smile about them. But it reminded me of Peter here and on the Mount of Transfiguration, which is Matthew 17. Bible tells us after a few days they went up on this mountain, a high mountain, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as lightning. Wouldn't that be awesome to see? And then, of course, at the same time then appeared Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. So how else are you going to experience that? How else are you going to identify that except what Peter said? And he said in so many words, "Lord, it's wonderful to be here." And it really was wonderful to be here. And I want to say that. I want to use that for all of us to say, guys, it is wonderful that you are here. And it is wonderful for each of us that we have come to our worship today. This lesson's really on the worship, and it's really more on attendance, your being here, no chastisement at all. I just want you to say, I want you to see how wonderful it is for each one of us. And I have seven thoughts that I want to share with you. So we're using the text to just realize how wonderful it is to be in the presence of the Lord. And I think this is one of those kinds of times. Of course it is. And it's very wonderful to be here. And it's very wonderful for each of us. And it's because you're expressing your, you know, your belonging. Did you know that? Just by coming, you're expressing your belonging with the body of Christ and really with this congregation. We just finished Colossians, you know, in Philemon. And we learned as Paul closed the book of Colossians in verse 16 in chapter 4 that he talked about the church in Laodicea and that the church was meeting in the home of a woman by the name of Nympha. And I say that just to say that there are groups of people that gather together as we are doing and are a congregation, and you identify this is your home congregation. And so you're saying by your presence here and coming to worship that, you know, I belong. It's wonderful to be here. I belong. I belong to this body of Christ. I know we all know the text, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not to give up meeting together as the habit of some is. And again, I'm not heading in that direction. I've done that before. Surely we should be meeting together and stuff, but there's a purpose behind it. It's that idea of I belong and I'm part of something that's bigger than me and that's important for me to be a part of. And so having your belonging is a wonderful thing. I read an article by a guy by the name of Derek Thompson. Turns out he's an agnostic. And in his first paragraph of his article, he said as he went through life, he always observed, you know, churches as, you know, the quicker they declined, the better was his idea. And so he got into looking at the statistics and realizing that that was happening. And, you know, after COVID, that really happened. A lot of people decided after COVID that they found other things to do on Sunday morning. And so they ended up just, you know, doing those other things. But, you know, what a crazy thing to do, because it's so wonderful to come together as God's people and be a part. But anyway, he said that he realized that the decline of church attendance was a positive thing. But then he got to rethinking that, because he said church attendance is one central place where people can experience community. And he felt like, you know, kind of looking at our country and the troubles that it's been in socially and even politically and those sorts of things, that we really need a place where we can come together, you know, and be part of a community, part of a family. As we sing that song, you know, we're part of a family that's been born again. We belong. And so thank God. It's wonderful that you're here, because you're saying, hey, I belong. You're also saying, or you're setting yourself up really for the week ahead. You know, the week behind has already happened, and it's done whatever it's going to do to you. Many good things, but, you know, you got to be out in the world. And the world's not necessarily a bad place. It's a place God designed for us. But it also has that negative thing in it, that there are temptations and things in the world that affect us. And so we can come together as God's people and look forward to doing better or doing as well, to getting through and getting ahead on the week that's coming ahead. The psalmist, Psalm 23, says that the Lord restores my soul. When we come together, I think that's happening for us. We're coming in for a little episode of repair and replacement, you know, in our lives when we come into worship. Did you know that you come to worship, that you're coming here for a little bit of repair? I need some repair. I've had a rough week. I'm about to go into a rough week, and so I want to be prepared and repaired for all of that. My mother-in-law, you all know how sweet my wife is. She's not here. She's staying home with our grandson because he's needing some pretty regular attention. But her mother was equally sweet, and what a wonderful woman, Carolyn Rose. And she always talked about getting her bucket full. She wanted to go to church because she could get her bucket full, you know, in other words, with good things, you know. And so church service is a place where you can set yourself up for the week ahead because you're getting your bucket full. It's kind of like now these electric cars, they started putting these charging stations ever so often. One of my granddaughter, well, my only granddaughter lives in Lubbock, and she comes to visit us every once in a while, and she came because that was her brother, to come see her brother. And it takes her a lot longer than it does most of us who have regular cars. Hers is an electric, it's a Tesla, and you have to stop every once in a while and charge up the battery. Well, that's kind of what worship services are. They're coming together. This is a charging station for you. You know, you're charging your batteries to be able to come and kind of get away from the week and have a great time with God's people, worshiping, praying, learning things from God's Word and those sorts of things, and just fellowship, if nothing else. And that should lift your spirit, should put your fill your bucket, as Carolyn said, or charge you up. Psalm 103, I'd like to share that with you, says, "Praise the Lord, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases and redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." You know, I looked that up. I thought, well, how in the world? What's that mean, the youth renewed like the eagles? It's really the appearance when an eagle has been taken to flight and has eaten and is full, that its feathers are at the most beautiful point, and it looks like it's, even if it's an old eagle, it looks young. And there's that idea of we could apply that to our worship time. We come together as God's people and we worship, that we're being renewed. Our youth, hey, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Our youth is being renewed like an eagle. And we're being, our spiritual side is being renewed, and those are good things. It's a wonderful thing for each one of us to be here because, and for you to be here because you're providing yourself with an opportunity to grow. There are, of course, opportunities in everyday life. You could, you know, read your Bible and pray and do those kinds of things alone or just with your family members or a friend or something. But coming together as God's people is also one of those ways that you do that. You wonder why God thought of that, that we ought to come together, that we ought to assemble, you know. Well, that's why, because it's good for us. It helps us to grow. It is, as I say, an opportunity, not an obligation. I don't want to show of hands, but how many of you have ever thought that coming to worship is kind of an obligation, you know? I got to go, you know. It's kind of like going to school when you're going to school. Some of you still are. You got to get up at a certain time. You got to get ready, you know, do your breakfast. You got to meet the bus and you got to get to school. It's just something that you have to do because you're expected to do that 5 days a week, go to school. Well, sometimes we can look at church like that. Well, it's kind of like going to school. Like, I just got to do it, you know. I'm obligated to do it. Maybe our parents made us feel like that. I know mine did at times. But it should be something that we come to enjoy instead of just simply endure. It is something that we, instead of seeing it as an obligation, we see it as an opportunity. And it's an opportunity to come and to grow. Again, like I said, God's the one that thought of it. And he thinks of pretty good things. And this is one of them, that coming together. So thank God for you and being here. It's very wonderful that you're here. It's an opportunity to grow. Psalm 122 and verse 1 gives us an attitude that David had. Now, the psalm goes a slightly different direction than worship assembly, so I want to be honest there, of course. But nevertheless, what he said is still applies to us. He said, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" You know, it's like saying, "Hey, let's go to church." "Oh, what do you mean, church? Oh, no." "I was glad when they said, 'Let's go to church. Let's go to worship.'" And to the house of the Lord. You know, again, God intends it for our good. And so it's just wonderful for you to be here because this is a good thing for us. Is it not? It is good to come together as God's people. It's also, and this is our fourth of the seven, it's taking the upward path. You know, you could have done other things today. You could have stayed home and, well, you could have slept in, you know. You could have had that extra cup of coffee. You could have turned on that favorite program, you know, on Apple Plus and watched another episode, and you could have enjoyed yourself doing those. You could have done that. But it's where you decided, you know, I want to go on the upward path this morning, and I want to come and I want to worship with God's people, and I want to sing some songs. And thank you again, Gray, for leading us. I want to sing some songs. I want to pray with God's people. I want to study the Bible with God's people. I want to partake of the Lord's Supper, be reminded every week about Jesus and His body and His blood. And that's going to help me to keep my focus on heavenly things. Paul's the one that used that. He talked about being on the upward path in the book of Philippians, and he's a good example for that. But like I mentioned again, since COVID, some of us have found other things to do, and surely whatever they are not as good as what God intends. They're not on the same level. That coming together as God's people in a worship like this is a good thing for you, and it puts you on that upward path. Reminds you, doesn't it? I mean, the Lord's Supper reminds you, but of the body and the blood of Jesus. But worship just reminds you of God and of heavenly things and of what's really important. Not that regular life isn't important. God doesn't want us to just, you know, slough off living. He wants us to do what's right in living our lives. And whatever you find to do, you know, do it with all your might. So God's not against that. But this is a time you come together on the Lord's Day, and you kind of put your head into the upward path and your mind and your thinking on the upward path. And it's a good thing. It's so wonderful. Who said it? Jesus, I think. Wherever three or more of you are gathered together, I am there in your midst. And so if we could be reminded of that ever so often, that, you know, when we come together, Jesus is here, the Lord is here. You know, not that he doesn't see us and he's not with us at all times, but in a very special way, as we come together as God's people, Jesus has gathered with us and he's part of this. And so we sing these songs and all of these things that we pray and those sorts of things. It's with the idea that God is among us. He's with us. And that, you know, it's a good thing. It's wonderful. Here's a fifth thing. It's because it's good that you're here, because it benefits others by your presence. Now, I want to take that one, just kind of take it out for just a minute, and let's just look at that. It's not alone just for you. I've heard people say that over the years of preaching. Well, you know, I just didn't get anything out of it. And the question is, well, did you put anything, you know, into it? Because if you approach your Christianity, just your faith like that I'm here to put something into others instead of to get something out of others, you're really on the right track. That's what God wants for us. And so our worship is good because you benefit others, but just simply by your presence, just each one of you, by your right here you are. Guess what you're doing right now? You're benefiting everybody else. And it encourages people that you're here. It's a wonderful thing. Somebody said presence is the seedbed for good works. You know, where else are you going to realize that some of your brothers or sisters in Christ need to be encouraged or have had something wonderful happen in their life and they need to be praised and congratulated on it by God's people? Some people may leave here and they live alone. And so when they come here, they actually are among friends and family. And so they're really not alone. They may live during the week fairly alone, but they can come here and be blessed by your presence. And so that's a good thing. And never think it isn't. It is a good thing that you're here just because it helps other people. And that's what we're all about, isn't it? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Not think of ourselves, but think of other people's. Isn't that what Paul says, or Peter? Again, just simply socializing is wonderful. I love it, and I've always prayed for it and seen it happen in churches, especially when the worship service is over. There's that gathering of small groups, and if you stay here in the auditorium, we have to eventually say, Elvis has left the building, and we have to start flicking the lights. Because you guys are talking and talking, and there's the hubbub going on, and somebody wants to turn the lights off and not really run you out, but it's been a lot. I mean, you've been here for a half hour, for crying out loud, you know, and Elvis has left the building. We want to turn the lights off, and that's great. That is so good. Let's keep doing that. Your presence matters. You can socialize with each other. We've gotten to where the cell phone is where we stick our face more often. And we can get things out of that with people all around us. Just this week, we were watching some program on TV that we all thought we could do together. It was going to be a lot of fun. And I looked around, and two other people had their phones out. You know, they're watching the show some, but they're looking at their phones too. You know, shame, shame. And fortunately, I don't see anybody doing it here in the church. And I know sometimes you do it when I quote a scripture, you've got it out. And I'm not really sure you're looking at scripture. You know, but I know you are. But sometimes we get so focused on this, and it's more impersonal. It feels personal because maybe somebody's talking to you and things are going on. But it's not face-to-face, really. This is face-to-face, where we literally are face-to-face. And so you thank God you're here and how much it is good for you because you benefit others by your presence. And I guess I could add to that, and you are being benefited by the presence of others. I know I am, you know. It really helps. Here's number six out of these seven. And so you're counteracting. This is so wonderful that you're here because you're just counteracting the natural human tendency to focus on self. You know, we're told to love others as we love ourselves. So I just want to tell you, it's okay to love yourself. But some of us, we go too far, you know, we really love ourselves. And so, you know, the idea that everything we do has to be what I want, you know, and those sorts of things. When I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, there was a song out and it was basically just do your own thing, you know. And that became kind of a slogan for my generation. Hey, do your own thing. I'm just doing my thing. You know, everybody's got a thing and it's their personal thing. And so sometimes we come to church services and that idea that, you know, I'm just doing my own thing, we can counteract that, that natural tendency by giving of ourselves, and we're here to help other people. Romans chapter 12 says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And he goes on to talk about how each member belongs to all the others. And you have a gift that you can share with other people and you can benefit the church. And so the first part of that, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, is just simply don't think of yourself. You know, don't be so focused on yourself. And so when you come to church, when church services, you have this wonderful opportunity to think of others and realize I'm a member here. I belong to these folks, and I can share what I have. And then here's number seven, and that is you're participating in the three purposes of worship. You might find other purposes, but here are three that I think really fit in. The first one's celebration. I mean, this is called a worship service because we're worshiping God. We're thanking God for all that He's done. And we come here not again out of obligation, but as a chance, an opportunity to get to praise God together with God's people. Now, of course, again, you can do it during the week, but there's this special corporate coming together as God's people. and celebrating God and celebrating life, celebrating forgiveness, celebrating eternal life that's in our hand because of Jesus Christ. And that's really a good thing. If you've not lost a loved one recently, and several of us have, you are reminded of how little importance there is in this short little life we live on earth. I say little importance, not saying it's not important, but little importance compared to the eternal life that you're going to have forever, you know? And that's so wonderful. And that's something we can celebrate. Thank God for that we have eternal life. And here's the second of the three purposes, and that is instruction. Kind of what we're doing now, only usually we'll look at scriptures and we'll, you know, look at them more carefully, like we just studied through the book of Colossians. I know, again, this is more just kind of topical, but it's still good for us to hear and learn. We sometimes think that our preacher types and maybe song leader types and prayer people are kind of like the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, who kept preaching until midnight. Bible actually says that Paul actually kept preaching until midnight. What if we did that now? It's 11:30, so it's really just like 12 and a half hours. Can you handle it? Can we do that? Why don't we shoot for midnight? Did you guys bring a lunch? And did you bring? You could take a break every once in a while if you need to, but just don't be out long. And we'll preach till midnight. We won't. But you know what happened? That wasn't a good idea because somebody fell out of a window. You know, Eutychus fell asleep. You're all awake, aren't you? I just want to make sure. Yeah. Okay, good. But sometimes we fall asleep. But, you know, I'm kidding all along, but it's instruction. Again, guys, you can read your Bible by yourself. But it's also good sometimes to get together and as a group and hear things from the Word of God and maybe have somebody kind of help to take it apart and get into the meanings of it. And so celebration and instruction are two of the purposes of worship. And the third one is repentance. And this is all we'll say at the end of this. Repentance. Repentance is first a change of heart. Change of mind is actually literally what the Greek word means. How you think about something. But then it becomes a change of life. And that's what repentance is. And so you come in and you worship. You hear the songs, the prayers, partake of the Lord's Supper, you're reminded of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, either through that or through the Word of God. You hear about the gospel constantly. You learn things from the Word of God. And there are things that some of them are going to be personal, and you look at things in your life that you may need to change. And so there's that. And we find ourselves sometimes affected by worship of services in a good way. I know I have. I toyed around with the idea when I was a teenager of being baptized, but I was scared to death to do it because they wanted you to come forward, you know. And this was a fairly large church in Arlington. And I thought, oh, no way am I going to do that, you know. And so I didn't do it. And so one Monday night, my friends and I all went to a drive-in theater. How many know what a drive-in theater is? Some of us do because we used to go to them. And it was in Fort Worth. We were seeing Paint Your Wagon. Everybody remember that? Lee Marvin, I think. Paint Your Wagon. And Waterhole Number 3, I think, was the other one. Two westerns. And so I'm watching these westerns, and a thunderstorm came up. And I mean a thunderstorm. And the place shook, and the rain came down, and we're watching through the windshield and turning the wipers on to watch Waterhole Number 3 or whatever it was. And I got to thinking, I'm going to die. This was such a bad storm. And I had resisted, you know, being baptized, you know, and coming forward and because of how scary that was. And so, you know, I didn't do it. And I finally did that. Next night, I told my mom, I said, Mom, I told her the story. And so we arranged it with one of the members and met at the building and was baptized. My Uncle Wayne was baptized with me because he had the same kind of thoughts about being baptized. And I guess it kind of motivated him. So he's he passed away a few years ago, my favorite uncle, and I look forward to seeing him again. But again, that's what it's all about, guys. It's about getting our life in the direction that God wants us to put our lives in. And again, daily, that should be one of our all constant motivations. But coming into worship, that element of repentance in our mind, getting our mind and our hearts changed, and leaving for the week, and it gives us an opportunity to go through the week a little more determined to live the life that God wants us to live. And so worship does that for us. So again, isn't that good? It's just wonderful. As Peter said, it is wonderful to be here. And I want you to feel that way about worship. It's not an obligation. You don't have to do it. You ought to do it. I mean, in a good way, you know, because God intends it to be good for you. And he wants us all to be here. So thank God you're here. And I hope you take this as a positive thing and an encouragement and not any kind of chastisement. I do that other times, but right now, just want to encourage, you know. And thank God for you and for our time here as your people, as his people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, for our worship, for this little hour that we spent, just an hour. And yet we've been encouraged by the singing and from your word here and by the Lord's Supper and really by each other's presence. Thank you for devising such a way that once a week we can come together and we could be your people all at once and in one place. Thank you for that, Father, and that just feels so good, and we're so glad that we're here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.